powers of nature. We see the powers of nature in Florida quite often. Hurricanes, tornadoes, different things that take place. And these, even tsunamis, which you see them on television, that must be a terrible thing, a tsunami, that all the water comes rushing in and there's just nowhere to go. Storms, lightning, hurricanes, the devastation of a tornado, the movement of glaciers when you go up in the cold country and you see how the glaciers move around. These and other events remind us that we humans are no match for nature's power. But, I love the buts, these are not only the powers that threaten to overwhelm us. In the advent of technology, it has unleashed new realizations of how limited we truly are as human beings. Artificial intelligence now harbors the potential for power that we can't even comprehend. We really have no idea what it's capable of, let alone what it might be capable of in a few years from now. And the more that we study science, the more we realize that we barely have touched the surface of what the human brain can do, or what we know about space or the ocean or what lies at the center of the earth. Every new discovery both thrills and chills us at the same time, because we can barely fathom the powers that lie beyond our comprehension and abilities as human beings. It's no wonder then that we find both intriguing and terrifying to think about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think it's often simpler for us to say, well, that can't really be true. There must be some other explanation. That's exactly what the first disciples said too, until they experienced Jesus face to face for themselves. When faced with the truth of the impossible, our minds may struggle a bit to get a hold of it, but in the end, we can't do anything but become humbled by our limited knowledge and power in the face of the vastness of God Almighty. Resurrection is what we celebrate today, on a day we call Easter Sunday. It's the cornerstone of theology of the Christian faith. It's why we're here worshiping this morning, and yet we continue to struggle with wanting to keep Jesus nailed to the cross or buried in the tomb, where it makes more sense to us that it must be where he is. Judy and I have been blessed to visit some of the sites in Israel, and I can assure you those tombs are empty. It does feel so very outlandish and impossible to imagine the truth of the resurrection. And yet, here he is in the person of the Holy Spirit, right here among us this morning, asking us to put his trust and faith in him and in the power of his resurrected hope. Resurrection is the ultimate power play, if you would. The resurrection itself is clearly enough to knock our socks off and have us shaking our heads in near disbelief. But that's why I like the buts. But that's not the only thing the women encountered that resurrection day at the tomb. You see, God not only resurrected Jesus, but he broke him out of the tomb where they had laid him, moved a giant rock, boulder if you would, out of the way with the snap of a finger, God's finger, not Jesus, to clear the way for the miracle that took place. Jesus was raised from the dead. That alone must have been a feat worth watching. I don't know if we can picture it in your mind. I love to take and let our imaginations go when you're reading scripture and try to put yourself into the story and into the place. Because in those days, there was not graveyards like we have out here. Nicely engraved stones with sealed coffins underneath. No. A tomb in Jesus' day was a cave, like an enclosure carved out of a rock or a hillside, and inside was a small room where a slab they would lay the body on, the one that was being entombed. Then a large boulder like that would be rolled over the entranceway and seal it tightly. Now, what would happen, like any other thing of nature, after a period of time, the body would decay, leaving only the bones. Now, these would be typically put into what they call an ossuary, or a little stone box, or they call it a bone box, because members of the family would be placed inside the family ossuary, which could hold the bones, sometimes of an entire family, and for just several generations back. So these tombs were reused and reused and reused. The stone ceiling, the cave-like tomb of Jesus, would have been extremely heavy, as you can see, and it would require several people to move it and seal it. In fact, the Romans used an extra heavy rock for this important grave, the grave of Jesus. They wanted to make sure this guy wasn't getting out. They didn't want anyone to get in to steal the body, claiming the resurrection. Then we know from Scripture that Jesus' tomb was sealed, and the guards were, in fact, stationed outside the tomb so that no one could try to get in and open it up. Little did they know or even understand that the power of God could lift that boulder like a feather from a goose. Nothing stands in the way of God's victory. Nothing stands in the way of God's salvation plan. So now we learn that early in the morning, just as the sun was rising, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, came to the tomb to anoint the body with oil and spices, which was their custom. They worried as they went about who might open the tomb for them, the ritual, and they knew that the stone was very heavy and big and probably impossible to move without a lot of help. Yet, when they arrived, the stone was already rolled back, as you can see in the graphic. Sitting inside the tomb, they saw a man in a white robe sitting on the right side of the slab, and Jesus is missing. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I would be pretty surprised, terrifying maybe, shocking, maybe mind-blowing, or alarming, or even worried above all. The power alone that would take to roll that boulder back was a freaky event. Then there was the issue of the missing body. And if that wasn't enough, there was a messenger in white, an angel, we learned, telling them that Jesus had been raised from the dead. That must have sounded like something out of a Nancy Drew novel. You know that story, Terror at the Tomb? The women fled. Run, if you would. They hightailed it out of there. And the scripture translation today that I read tells us that the women were seized with terror and amazement, but these words didn't even come close to the descriptiveness which is recorded in the original language. They were awestruck to the level of wide-eyed wonder, confused and befuddled to them to the extent that they were experiencing a rapture-like amazement. Their minds were in shock. They were bewildered and afraid, and they trembled and shook with fear, and at the same time experienced a kind of like a transcendent feeling of ecstasy. They both felt fear, but at the same time the feeling was just sort of like a out-of-body God moment, if you would, or a God wink. I love that television program. I don't know why they don't have it anymore. Do you ever have a God wink in your life? Something that you couldn't understand, but you knew it was from God? That's how exhilarating and terrifying their experience was, all at the same time. To witness God's power, the kind of resurrection power, was enough to take your breath away, and they were amazed. We know, too, that the guards who had witnessed the power of God move that rock fell to the ground, shivering in shock and in fear. They were terrified. In fact, anyone who has ever encountered a God revelation in their life had experienced at least a sliver of what these women and men must have experienced on the day at the tomb. It was a phenomenal experience. Perhaps at the moment they realized that Jesus had been telling them all along what was going to happen. They didn't believe, well, yeah, you're going to be raised from the dead in 3 days. Yeah, right. Perhaps they too were in shock to think anything at that moment. At first, they said nothing. They must have thought that everyone would thought that they had lost their minds. Perhaps it took a while to calm down and to get their thoughts together and to process what they had just experienced. But things would move quickly from that time on. Soon, all would change as Jesus would reveal himself to them, to his disciples, to others, and all before his ascension when he went back to heaven. So today, we too could be awestruck at the power and the miracle of God Almighty. We too continue to wrap our heads around the truth of the resurrection, something so amazing and out of this world that we have trouble comprehending it. There's no doubt about that. And it's okay to doubt. God wants you to doubt and wants you to challenge him. God wants you to ask him questions. God wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. God never meant for this to be something that we can't comprehend, the resurrection, for the very reason that it still remains a mystery, the power of God, that we cannot comprehend it. It requires us to cultivate something we call faith. Faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. We believe in the resurrection on faith and faith alone. Only when we're confronted, truly confronted by the presence and the power of God in that moment, when we wonder in awe over and over, that feeling that we simply cannot put into words. That's when we know that what we learn from the Gospels is true. Truth resides in putting our faith in a God that lies so far beyond our capability to be able to understand, that we simply bow our heads and stand in awe. That's the reality of faith. That's the truth of the power and the presence of God Almighty.